Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J to start your day on 929 FM ESPN. It'll be to start your Monday here as we get set to close the book on what is a very hot end to the month of June. Got Independence Day, July 4th coming up. Of course, that's not just this country's Independence Day. It will certainly be a special one, the 250th birthday. It's also John's birthday. Now, John's still not with us. He's out on paternity leave. For those of you all, maybe they were hoping through the weekend we might have John Barton back on Monday. No, he's still got weeks. We're weeks into paternity leave, and he's still got weeks more. Now, others have been gone and gone on vacation, come back. That's what happens when you have a baby. Legally, you're entitled as the father to take some much-needed time off. We hope he's finding his peace. I was just thinking about it. By the time he gets back, what, mid-July or early July, we'll say. He's got 10, 11 more shows here to go. So much will be different. There's a new face of the Grizzlies, right? The NBA, we're seeing movement left and right. Had Charlotte make another deal over the weekend. You see reporting from Kevin O'Connor at Yahoo that LeBron might be on the move. Anthony Davis, too. So not just the Grizzlies will have changed. The entire league will have changed. Giannis is a Miami Heat, the player of the Miami Heat. You have college news in terms of Penny. We talked about it last week, adding a Serbian pro. So much will have changed by the time we get to him. Looking forward, that first day back for him will basically just be a rewind of what you think of stuff that happened 3-4 weeks ago. That said, we have got much more to do. I've been holding it down with my man Brad Carson. I tell you what, I'm excited to see you, Brad, because I saw something from the mayor of Memphis this morning, Paul Young, that made me believe even more that you dropped big news on us last week. You were ahead of this last week when you were down at the Grizzlies draft watch party. You tweeted something out about lease negotiations. Paul Young doesn't necessarily have lease negotiation news this morning, but something he put out on YouTube, I think, is very very telling in terms of where those lease negotiations might be. If you remember Brad's report, was it a report, Brad? Can we go as far as to say that?
No, I think it was an X.
It was a tweet? It was an X post?
I would call it informed speculation.
Yeah, can we rewind real quick and just say kind of along the lines of what it was? I don't know if you've got it pulled up, and I'm putting you on the spot.
I don't really tweet too much, actually. I can go back and look.
Sounds like a little bit of downplaying here. Yeah. But I am holding this up,
okay,
again, because of what we saw from the mayor on YouTube this morning.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
Let me pull it up.
This was from the draft watch party on Tuesday. Remember, Brad was down there doing some reporting. He was already seeing the renovations happening in the arena, things like that. But there was also something he dropped in. I tell you what, when you're on the spot, when you've got the news, it's tough. But, brother, you're being backed up. So you should read it again with pride because it's on the way, isn't it?
I can't find it.
This dude's going to back totally out. Well, I'll paraphrase. You said lease negotiation would be done soon. It was along those lines. Now I'm paraphrasing your words.
Here it is.
Please.
With four pictures of the scaffolds, it was, the context is the pictures, right?
So there, dude, were, just read it.
No, but it's context. It's context. I have four pictures of all of the work being done at FedEx Forum current for the renovations with these words. Word on the street is lease negotiation will be wrapped by the end of the summer, August. Also, during the open house here at FedEx Forum, notable signs of the renovation. Good times ahead for Memphis. Meaning, if we're putting those two things together, the obvious thing is the people that I've talked to, and that's like local people who run big sporting events. And you can just put the dots together on big sporting events, right? People that use stadiums, people that use FedEx Forum, people that use golf courses. Those people that I've talked to said that this should be up by the end of the summer. And then two, you link that when you go in to see the Grizzlies draft party and there's all this work. Like, why the hell would any municipality do start anything if there's not a sign that you're pointing in that direction? So two and two hopefully equals four.
And all of that was Brad saying it'd be wrapped up by August. You've also had folks like Duncan Williams from the Greater Chamber come
there
out
we
and
go.
Say lease negotiations are close and has talked about the inside of FedEx Forum, how changes are happening. You confirmed the changes, but it was what you tweeted, what you started the tweet with. About it being close, right? Whether
close.
It's August, whatever else, the mayor had essentially done the same thing last summer. That time came and went. No lease signed. But if you look today over on YouTube, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on,
this is
the
good.
Mayor's got a three-part tweet, essentially, a three-part post on X, I should say. I need to update my priors. It's no longer Twitter. But it's where he posted an interview with Willie Harrington, former Memphis mayor, the mayor who... was presiding, frankly, over the arrival of the Memphis Grizzlies, the one who's been credited, frankly, with dreaming that this could happen all those years ago. It's where that interview is taking place that I think, along with Brad's information, along with Duncan Williams' information, don't worry, Brad, you're not out on a limb by yourself. All the writing has been on the wall. It feels like we are very close to some lease negotiation closure, finally.
According to Tennessee state law, the current Shelby County, Tennessee Mayor Lee Harris's term ends September 1st, 2026. Let's just put that out there. August ends the 30th. The term ends on the 1st. So I also think that's an important thing to keep your eye on.
There you go. We're getting news right here on Monday as we start you off on 92.9 FM ESPN. Sort of connecting the dots.
Trying to put the timeline together here.
And if we're not connecting the dots well enough for you, go follow Sam Hardiman, who we have on every Wednesday. He's been the closest in terms of reporting this lease negotiation news, the closest to this for the Daily Memphian. Go read what he had to tweet about the mayor putting out this YouTube series. I've not been able to watch all of this, what I think is a 24-minute video interview. Right. With Mayor Harrington, but we're going to be talking about that and what it means, and I think the writing is on the wall. Happy Monday. Hopefully everybody had a good weekend. I was in a basketball gym for most of it, watching little Chris as we get set for the seventh grade. We were over at the House of We. That's the House of War Eagles. That the We is War Eagles. That's on Shelby Oaks Drive. Folks might remember it as the old Wimbledon Sportsplex. So while I'm out one eye trying to watch Chris, the other's on Twitter the whole weekend because... My gosh, all the movement, all the rumors, everything else. We should expect to see plenty more news today about contract options because we're one day ahead here now of the start officially of free agency. Lots of teams we've seen already options either picked up or declined. Zach LaVine picked up, Harden declined, but the plan in Cleveland is for him to sign longer term at a lower yearly rate. That'll help free up some money for Cleveland. So lots of news there to discuss. Also, bringing it back here, Kevin O'Connor, Yahoo Sports, has a column chock full of NBA news. He put it out late last night, including reporting on Ja Morant's future with the Grizzlies. So we will talk about that. Celtics guard Jaylen Brown went off about analytics and on a certain ESPN personality over the weekend, who we've had, friend of the show, by the way, all while the Celtics are reportedly still shopping him for a draft pick-focused deal. That's the way that Brian Windhorst put it most recently this morning. The Celtics want... I think we've seen reports of at least four first-round picks for Jaylen Brown. It's amazing to me that they're continuing to shop him. Jaylen Brown has not gone into a cave. He and Bobby Marks went back and forth over the weekend. We'll talk about that. We're just 2 days out. I'm excited from Team USA's round of 32 match versus Bosnia-Herzegovina in the World Cup on Wednesday. It's the knockout stages now. Canada's already through. They're the first through, knocked off South Africa yesterday, and we've got more matches today. We've got Serena Williams, also be an historic week. Because she's back, returning to Wimbledon and for her first singles match in 4 years. She'll take on Australia's Maya Joint. She'll play around noon Tuesday. She also plays with Venus, who's 46 now, Serena 44 on Wednesday in doubles. Williams is 50-1. 50-1 to win what would be a record-tying 24th major. So she's got it's a long shot, but amazing, really. That she's 50-1 at 44 years old with this long layoff certainly will be history when she returns. We'll see how she fares. She's back on the grass at Wimbledon. Very excited about that. Watch some interviews with her. And she said for the first time ever she's going to be able to enjoy it. I kind of bought this, that for the first time ever, you know, you're going in there, you're expecting to win if you're Serena Williams in past appearances. I imagine there's a competitive side of her that's still there, that feels like she probably can win or she could put together a run to win. But her point was, now with the pressure sort of off, maybe she can enjoy it in a way, take it in a way that she hadn't been able to previously. So we'll talk about that. That'll be Tuesday, obviously. Her return to the singles court. She's playing two with Venus, like we said, in doubles this week. Before we get to all that, let me set up the show. First hour, we'll talk a lot of NBA. We said it. Charlotte made another move over the weekend after already trading LaMelo Ball. At 11, we'll do the rundown. Really cool. We'll take a little bit of a break from NBA. Daily Memphian's Jeff Calkins had a really cool column over the weekend. I don't know, Brad, if you got to see it, about a little league baseball team from Tampa that raised a ton of money for St. Jude. Really cool story about how we can all do our part. A bunch of 9 and 10-year-olds did a big thing for St. Jude, then came up here, played a little league baseball game against our guys, against a little league team from Memphis on Saturday. That was a big deal and really cool in terms of what they did. 11:25, we'll talk to Michael Wallace, senior editor for Grind City Media, about the Grizzlies draft. Last time we talked to him, we were 3 weeks out still from draft, so we were talking about and assessing needs. Now that we've had the draft, we'll talk about that with Michael Wallace. How does he assess what the Grizzlies have done? We've talked about a big trade since we've last talked to him. Giannis now down in Miami. LaMelo now in the West in Minnesota. So a lot to talk about with Michael Wallace, including maybe LeBron James on the move. So we will get to that and a whole lot more. Brad, I know I've said a lot here in the first 11 minutes. Put you on the spot. I enjoy that there first segment because I'm telling you, Brad Carson was on this last week at Draft Watch Party. So a lot to get to. How about we do a little bit of cap or no cap? So I'm rolling. I'm on this Folgers. Feel like we've had a pretty smooth open so far. And you know, one of the few things that's really held me up here lately, you go out on Twitter, X, updated Jason's X. Sorry, Elon. And there's a whole bunch of, there's a divide. And so folks who want Ja Morant to stay, and the folks who I think it's not so much pushing Ja out as I think it sometimes gets characterized as. It's ready to move on, right? As it appears, yeah. This front office and Zach Kleiman obviously at the head of that, and the franchise has led us to believe is the plan. But boy, this weekend it held me up for a little bit. I didn't respond to any of it, Brad. But your boy was called everything except a child of God. Because basically what just feels like a list of facts, and you and I went through them all week last week, about where we are with Ja, what you need from him at this point in his career, what the Grizzlies have already signaled with their moves and everything else, what the market has said, you know, so, or about his value, not just with the Grizzlies, but to the rest of the league. And so our position's kind of stated, and yet folks are so invested. And again, I want to say, I'm not going to call anybody any names that's on the other side wants Ja back. I'm not going to go to that level in this conversation, but I understand the passion. I understand the passion. Yesterday, we had some reporting on Ja Morant's future. And here's the cap or no cap. Ja Morant is getting moved this week. Cap or no cap. I'll get your answer, Brad, in just a second. Here's why we bring it up. It was mentioned in Kevin O'Connor's NBA column. It was chock full of stuff. And actually, if you missed it, it's headlined with LeBron Anthony Davis news. And so, but again, it goes down through Miami and its moves now after trading Giannis. And that's where we get to a little bit of a blurb. Again, it's not in the headline, so you might have missed it, but most didn't. And I think Matt Enfield over at WMC-TV Action News 5 pointed it out on Twitter, too, out of Kevin O'Connor's column. But again, it's about the Heat having a guard problem, right? And essentially how O'Connor points out that over the weekend, I believe it was Mark Stein who pointed out that Tim Hardaway Jr. and Mike Conley, a former Grizzly, Mike Conley, are targets of the Miami Heat. Now, as they try to build with what is, you know, very little in terms of resources to do it after moving everything to get Giannis, as they try to build around Giannis and Bam, right? We said it looks like a decent starting five, but they have zero depth. And so Those are two of the guards that apparently have been identified, according to Stein, and Kevin O'Connor points that out in his column. He points out, again in a blurb, sources say the Heat had interest in Grizzlies point guard Ja Morant before the Giannis deal, but there's not much expectation that he will get bought out. We've talked about that option for the Grizzlies. With the trade market looking so thin right now, would you be willing to buy out, stretch out Ja's contract, eat that money? We've said it. I mean, for the way you've set yourself up now with some nice financial flexibility potentially, that'd be a costly move in terms of doing it, but might be a road you had to go down. Again, Kevin O'Connor speaking directly to that there's not much of an expectation he's going to get bought out where Miami could get him on the cheap is the point. Miami or any other teams. Here's the other line. In fact, league sources expect Morant to be traded this week. Now, back to where we started on this. You know, this has left us, and again, in all kinds of back and forths, and maybe some that sort of devolve down to, oh, man, you know, personal attacks on each other. Brad, the franchise did some great things last week in that draft in terms of that word pivoting to the future. Right now, still with a good deal of it divided on Ja, the market has already indicated to you it's not going to give you major assets for Ja. It feels like, and along with this reporting, I think it coming from Kevin O'Connor, who says that league sources are telling him it's happening this week, it's time to pull the trigger. No matter, and we said it going out of here last week, Brad, if you've got to send out some assets to do it. Now, I had a bunch of, what you talking about, taking a loss on Ja Morant? It was probably always going to be this way. You're talking about, again, a guy who at one point earlier this year was speculated as a negative trade value, zero to negative. Here's the issue. LaMelo, who was in that article, like we talked about, Trae Young, well, LaMelo went on to play 72 games, made a run to the play-in and everything else. You know, his value was increased. And the market said so because Minnesota was willing to give a haul for him. Ja didn't play. Now, I know some would say, well, the Grizzlies held him out and everything else, and we're not going to get back all deep into that. I believe they did there at the end of the year while they were tanking. That said, Ja had made his decision earlier in the year that he was in, out. And so, back to the point, Brad, it feels inevitable, both based on what the Grizzlies' moves already and now the reporting. And this is what I would add to it. I've said a version of it, Brad. It's not going to be new to you, but we desperately need it to happen. You know, if it's just a matter of we're going to hold on until, my gosh, I pray somebody gives us a first-round pick, you're not getting there now. The market's already told you. There was not an increase from trade deadline to now. Like I and others, we all had hoped there would be. So as I said last week, you're going to have to eat this one way or the other. It's likely not going to include a net positive return. And, Brad, it's time to do it. Because, frankly, at a time where you got a lot of good going on with your fan base, let's be real. Draft party, you were there. It was live last week between 4,000 and 5,000. I had that confirmed by somebody else, Brad. I think your number on that was right. Folks were excited about that. You've made a good move here, we think, for Isaiah Stewart, right? We like that trade and what you've brought in there. You've done some good things here that your fan base is into, and I think, again, there will be some that when this move is made are gonna hate your guts. The ones that say this team should hold on to Ja, they're going to hate your guts. But you need to get to a point, as I said last week, Brad, where those folks can understand it's done, and they can now move on. Either come back, get in the fold, get with the plans as is, or, again, franchise be damned for trading a guy that hadn't played but 79 games the last 3 years. And, of course, you weren't going to give a contract to 62. We said that was smart business coming into the season for the Grizzlies. So, cap or no cap, back to you. There's my little monologue on where we are with things. Cap or no cap, he's getting moved this week.
No cap. He's getting moved this week. And I believe Kevin O'Connor is probably informed on his, you know, report. And I think it's the right move. You know, we've been here since January, as Chris Harrington talked about it, you know, earlier in his column today. And I think this is one of those important opportunities for us to point out the difference between reality and social media, because
it's always good.
It is a constant discussion in my household when it's not even about sports, more about life. That the amount of attention that we pay on this radio station to what people say on social media is ridiculous. And I don't give it much time. That's why I went to the forum last week to see the draft party, because I think that those fans have moved on, the majority of them. And I don't give a crap what four people on Twitter say or X. I don't believe it. I think that we've been here since January. The dude didn't play since January. He's not been available. Like, I think everybody, I think the majority of the fan base is there. That's a guess. But I just think that that's no cap. They're going to get rid of Ja. And if they have to buy him out in a couple of weeks, they're going to get rid of Ja. Because if you don't, my opinion is somebody who operates an organization is it's dysfunctional.
Yeah, because this has been the plan. If you go into next year, you've still got one foot into an old plan.
Get the dysfunctional out.
That's the other part about this isn't just what you did in the draft. It's also what we're seeing, and we'll get back to it. But again, with what feels like great news that the Grizzlies are going to be here, that
right.
At least negotiations are close to being done. Right, this order of business, like you just said, with Ja, has been hanging over the franchise now too long. We understood why you didn't move him at the deadline. Hoping, again, for an incremental amount of increase where you didn't have to send out picks, whatever it was, first rounders, as some speculated, at least one first rounder. We understood waiting. But now you've got to get this order of business settled. And that's where I'm settling on this. You have done so much good in the other areas. Good that's got your fan base excited. Again, whether it's lease, whether it's draft, what you've done to pivot. It's not just the draft, Isaiah Stewart, but obviously getting the three picks from Detroit was a part of that. Zach Kleiman masterfully navigated through the draft. Now this order of business has to be cleaned up because it's a dark cloud hanging over the franchise. I'm not saying move it today, take the worst offer you simply can just to get it done in the next 24 hours, but get this done, as league sources apparently have told Kevin O'Connor they expect it to be. Get it wrapped up and put a nice little bow. So at least whatever portion of the fan base that is still so pro-Ja. Because to Brad's point, I do think, Brad, it is a smaller maybe percentage than some would have viewed, maybe than I even believe what's out there on social media. Get everybody back.
Yeah.
You know, so back to the point where we're all pivoted, we're all looking towards the same sort of future. I'll look at least in one direction, whether you believe, have faith in it or not.
Well, and you have to make decisions on popular players often in this league. I mean, it just happens the time.
And it's happened. I mean, you saw Charlotte just make a decision that after a really good upstart season in which they almost ended their playoff drought, that they're going to move on from two important pieces, not just LaMelo, but also Bridges.
Yeah. Bridges,
you
is
know,
out.
He was an important piece for them, even though clearly by the end of their run, you wondered what his future would be with them, with the way Konka, Nipple, and Brandon Miller
well,
stepped up.
Even in San Francisco, they're not loyal to anybody. Like Jimmy Butler, like he's got a precarious future in that organization as they try to figure out what they're doing.
We'll get to that, because if they're going to kind of do this old reunion of superheroes, then old Jimmy, who's recovering, and he seems to understand it, has to seemingly be part of the deal. We'll get to that.
One more thing on Ja. Actually think it would be cool from a marketing perspective to have this behind you with the whole Cam Boozer, here's number 12 before the season. Like, I want Cam Boozer to be wearing number 12 before the summer
league. Which can still happen and has been pointed out.
Like, get
now,
that
I'm
done.
Not going to sit up here and say I suspect it will, because I bet you Cam Boozer's such a team player that he's ready to go the year without.
Oh, I don't.
Now,
I have no doubts
about
that.
He said that was mom's volleyball number.
Yeah, that's
is
right.
That what I read?
Yes.
Now, I also thought, okay, rookie year is 26, 27.
Oh, okay.
Right? So if he changed, the way he's told, if Ja's going to keep this whatever else, I'll just stay above it. It's mom's number,
right?
But it's also slick.
It's
his rookie season, 27, will be the year, perhaps.
Yeah.
He's the rookie of the year, the 26-27 season. So that would come through, too.
Beautiful.
That said, I'm not ruling it out. I'm with you. I'd like to get the 12 sales going.
Right.
Now, I didn't include that in why you need to get this done
this
week.
Yeah, that's not a...
But it
yeah.
would be a nice
little cherry on
top,
right?
A nice little subplot,
marketing.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've got a new 12.
Yes.
And I know the job fans will hate it, but I think you gotta reboot.
Because ultimately, you know what? It almost is, after you trade Ja, if you do it that quickly, it almost is sort of get the heck out.
Yeah,
it's almost like slamming the door on him.
Right.
If you switch it that quickly.
Yes.
So I'm not gonna push back on a school of thought that says, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
if Cam's cool with it, we'll just stick with 27. I'd like to see the 12 sales start. I'm all about that business, whatever else.
Yeah.
But I could also see a school of thought where the Grizzlies don't want to add insult to injury on this, be talked about by slamming the door, changing his number the moment he leaves out. Now,
sure.
Again, maybe they don't care at this point. Zach Kleiman, he's all but said it. You know, we've had these talks. And it's all been about business, not about feeling so much.
This guy's kind of pissed all over your franchise a little bit.
I would like to see the 12 get inserted, but would understand an argument to where that looks like from an NBA standpoint, that, bam, damn, the Grizzlies got them the hell out of there and switched that number even after Boozer said he was okay with 27.
Yeah.
Like, I can see some of that. Zach Kleiman might want to avoid that. I wouldn't give a hot you-know-what about
it.
I would switch it up because Cam Boozer's
given.
Here's the deal. Cam Boozer's earned it.
Right.
He's earned, and we had already made the decision to move on from Ja before we draft this new 12.
That's
and so
right.
You know what? Yeah, I'd like to make the switch as quickly
Cam Boozer,
as possible.
Hey, Cam Boozer's the one out of the two of them that's putting up excited to be in Memphis videos instead of these cryptic weirdo videos. And he's putting up in the gym. He's putting up in hotel rooms. Like, he's excited to be here. Like, I'm excited for him to be here.
I saw the thing with the cap, and it was all over the...
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies cap.
So great.
And then they gave it to him.
This guy gets it. Like, he has not taken the approach of the woe be gone, I went to Memphis routine. He's actually taken the opposite. He's taken the, look at this cool hotel I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this cool draft press conference I'm about to walk
in. Well, it's because he's been raised by a pro. He's got a pro family.
He's a pro.
I mean, they know what they're doing. And so when it comes to all that stuff off the, everything that they can do to make it look as, although it did look genuine, to make it look like they're happy to be here, they're going to do that edge work and everything else. And frankly, like
beautiful.
You said, it's exactly what the franchise needs with where it is with Ja Morant right now. But maybe, according to Kevin O'Connor and league sources, very close and to moving him this week.
Yeah.
All right, next one. LeBron, this is actually the second of a cap or no cap. I do like that next story, though, because it was a nice little divide.
Mm.
LeBron James is done as a Laker, cap or no cap?
Oh, I think that is no cap. I think he is done as a Laker, and I think he'll either be in Cleveland figured out or he'll be in San Francisco figured out.
I think I don't know if it'll be Cleveland. I think it's more likely...
Probably San Fran. I think he's probably going to be a Warrior.
Warriors, according to Kevin O'Connor, and that was the lead to his column, and it's been everywhere else now. The Warriors are attempting to trade for Wizards big man Anthony Davis and then sign Lakers free agent forward LeBron James, according to multiple league sources. Remember, we had learned, I believe it was from Windhorst last week, Windhorst and others, that LeBron and the Lakers still hadn't had contract talks.
Yeah.
Lakers, again, prioritizing Austin Reeves and building around Luka Doncic before they are re-signing LeBron James and making him the centerpiece, as has been the past. Well, they have to look towards the future. And frankly, it's good GMing. It's good front officing by the Lakers because, again, you cannot continue to pay LeBron big bucks and have a future around Luka when you know he is the next star in that, you know, that halcyon, that hierarchy of stars there for the Lakers. Now, trade for Davis would have to include, as Brad said, Jimmy Butler. He's talking about who is on an expiring $57 million contract while recovering from a torn ACL. This, according to Kevin O'Connor's column, the Warriors would also have to include draft capital. They have two future firsts and four first-round swaps to work with in any deal. Sources say the Warriors would hope adding Davis would lure LeBron from Los Angeles to the Bay Area once free agency officially opens up tomorrow. We've talked about that. The pitch would be simple. Reunite with AD, team up with Steph Curry, Draymond, play for Steve Kerr, and chase one more championship with a roster of legends. ESPN's Shams Charania reported last week that the Lakers had not made an offer to LeBron. Excuse me, it was not Brian. So if LeBron wants to keep playing, he may need to do it on a new team for the mid-level exception. Worth, and we've talked about it, you know, is related to Isaiah Stewart, worth a little over $15 million. But Clutch Sports CEO Rich Paul said 10 to 12 teams, back to the answer whether this is for LeBron, have checked in about adding LeBron this summer, so sign and trade options could also emerge. The Warriors could certainly have appeal. LeBron won gold with Curry, Davis, and Kerr in 2024 with Team USA, and the basketball fit was obvious. LeBron said his pairing with Curry felt effortless because they play basketball the right way. And unlike Cleveland, seemingly to me, through LeBron's eyes, Golden State to him represents a chance to, in his mind, to win a title. He'll tell himself with Steph and Draymond, right, if I can get back Anthony Davis. Now, I guess Anthony Davis is the swing piece. But he'll tell himself, particularly with Steph, that I'm close enough. You look at that Cleveland team, who I at one point figured, well, maybe they'd move on from James Harden. to get LeBron James as a running mate for Donovan Mitchell. Again, you tell me, was James Harden beneficial come playoff time when it was go time for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
He was not.
Did he put? He didn't do it again.
No, he didn't.
Now, he's opted out of his deal to sign a longer-term deal with them.
Of course, yeah.
And so LeBron would even be more of a third piece for them, and I'm assuming for less money. I just look at what Golden State's got, and for me, Golden State makes more sense. He's already West Coast now, based in L.A., and everything else. Golden State just makes – he'd stay in the West, which he's familiar with. It makes more sense. But what seems clear, and we touched on this last week, we said the Lakers had to do it. Frankly, I'd been saying it for a while. They are moving on. They are finally untying, you know, their ship from LeBron James and tying it to Luka Doncic. Now Austin Reeves as well, having offered him basically the max deal after Detroit and others were thought to be hot and heavy after Austin Reeves. They've doubled down on the two guys out on the perimeter they're going to go after. LeBron by himself isn't the kind of chemistry they need. We saw Luka when he made the run with Dallas. They need big posts now. Shot blocking posts, alley catching, rolling to the basket type posts. In terms of now to build the right things around Reeves and Doncic to make up for the minus that those guys are defensively. LeBron can't do that by himself in his advanced age. And yeah, it's probably time. It will be time to move on. So I suspect that yes, LeBron James will be leaving the Lakers, and maybe it will be the Warriors again. This was the lead to Kevin O'Connor's column. All right, the next one. Kawhi will finish his career as a Clipper, cap or no cap. Got some big names in this one.
That's a tougher one, I think, than the LeBron one. But
well, because Ballmer loves him.
Yeah, and he's paid him, may have backdoor paid him through some other operations.
Circumvent.
Those two have a relationship. So, yeah, I think so. I think that's probably the way it goes. I would say that is no cap. It's probably going to be Clipper time for the rest. You know, you had these rumors about Toronto. I don't see that. I think that the only likely scenario is that he ends up a Clipper, right?
You think he stays a Clipper?
I think he stays a Clipper.
I don't know. These reports seem pretty pretty serious.
Toronto in the mix?
Yes. The Clippers in Toronto are seriously engaged in trade talks for Kawhi Leonard, the still all-NBA forward, according to Shams and ESPN. L.A. and Toronto discussed a deal over the past couple of weeks. As I'm reading from the story over at ESPN, Leonard's reps informed other teams he only wanted to sign an extension with the Raptors if the Clippers were not going to keep him. He had preferred to stay with the Clippers, but the franchise made no long-term commitment to him. This offseason, sources said Leonard has only the 26-27 season left on his contract at $50.3 million. The deal would obviously mark a return to Canada for the star who led the Raptors to the title in 2019, won MVP finals of the MVP while doing so, averaged 28.5 points in that series win over Golden State, would pivot the Clippers and president of basketball operations Lawrence Frank, although he said at the end of a season news conference in April that the plan was to keep trying to win with Kawhi. O'Connor writes very strongly, the Clippers are foolish if they don't trade Leonard.
Yep.
At age 34.
Given his status, I agree.
He's 34 years old now. You have a chance still to get a future.
Yeah, you have
you've made the
value,
move now,
right,
for Darius Garland, who you like as a young guard. He certainly can't do it by himself. He needs more help. But you've made the move and gone younger with him. He just had the best regular season of his entire career, which, again, can help you get a return here, posting 28 points on nearly 50, 40, and 90 shooting while playing 65 games. What are we really doing here, O'Connor writes. If there's really finally a real market for Leonard, the Clippers need to treat it like an escape hatch. Take it before the door closes. So I do, again, at 34 years old now, realize how close Ballmer is to Kawhi, has protected him in a sense here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that investigation's still not done.
Right.
But has also kind of spoken to and not rolling out the extension already.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of said here what he's prepared to do, and yeah, if there's still a market on him, then heck yeah, you send him back to Toronto and you get the return. I suspect that this will happen. A lot of big names on the move, some on their own, some by trade. I think LeBron probably end up being a free agent signing, although, as you said, clutch, maybe it's a sign and trade. But yes, I expect LeBron to have a new address, and also Kawhi Leonard, even maybe it's back up in an old address in Canada.
You know, the interesting thing about Kawhi Leonard is I think that we think about 17-18 with the Spurs, and we think about the injury year when he was making the comeback last year in 24-25. But if you look at his breakdown from the time he entered the league, he actually has played more than you probably think he's played. Like, he's... Like last year, he played 65 games, which I didn't remember him playing that many. Year before was the injury year. 68, over 50, over 50, over 50, 60, 74, 72. Early in his career, obviously played a lot. My point is, like, there might be a little meat on the bone there, you know, now that he's gotten through this. And so if you're the Clippers and you want to make a run this year, mm-hmm. you may just run it out, right?
That's what I think. I don't think there's much of a run.
There's not value.
We saw it last year that with him and Garland, it's not nearly enough. And so is now the time to pull the trigger. I would say yes. What are the odds that you're going to get another 65 out of him? You just got, as you said, a really good season in terms of him from availability standpoint. It seemed like the time is right now. You got to strike
maybe
while
the iron's
hot.
Maybe a little value
now.
That's fair.
Yes, yeah. Because there's no guarantee that Kawhi goes to Toronto. And we don't see a throwback to some of the injury-riddled seasons, those kinds of things. You need to strike while the iron's hot. This one makes too much sense.
I think
for the Clippers, and maybe to a point that O'Connor's right, if you don't do it, you are
foolish. So you think they'll unload
you're
him?
You're foolish, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't think this is just smoke.
Yeah.
And frankly, when Shams is out here writing that Toronto and the Clippers are in talks, it's gotten close enough to a point you're writing about the talks, it's probably going to, it feels like it's going to
end
up being.
You're probably right on that. I'm probably wrong on that. I bet you he does end up. I'd probably change my answer after hearing your report there.
It's not mine. It's Shams Charania, but yeah, it looks like the writing's on the wall. And then something we touched on coming in, I guess we've really kind of already got your answer, but I'll answer it. Brad really did break some news last week when you talked about, along with the update on renovations, the lease agreement being almost done. I think in your tweet you had soon and had August in parentheses. Point being, it wasn't just Brad. Others have come out and said they believe that lease negotiations are close to being done. Duncan Williams before you over at the Greater Chamber, who I believe is interim president of the Greater Chamber, had said it to a group that Channel 3 ended up writing about. And now I'm saying all that to say where we are now this morning. The mayor of Memphis, Paul Young, released a video of you on YouTube of him interviewing former Memphis Mayor Willie Harrington. The video is about 24 minutes long. I've only been able to kind of skim through it a little bit as we were preparing for this morning's show. Again, it was released this morning. Didn't know it was coming. But along with the videos, a series of tweets. He said, "Today, it's hard to imagine Memphis without the Grizzlies. But bringing the NBA here wasn't inevitable. It took vision, persistence, and leaders who believed Memphis deserved to compete on the biggest stage, even when others didn't. In the first of a 3-episode series, I sat down with former Mayor Willie Harrington to talk about that moment in Memphis history, the resistance he faced, and why he believed our city needed a major league franchise to compete and grow. Finally, as we work to write the Grizzlies' next chapter," it's important wording there, "as we work to write the Grizzlies' next chapter, it's worth remembering how this one began." And again, there is a accompanying 24-minute YouTube video of where Mayor Paul Young sits down with former Memphis Mayor Willie Harrington, and they're talking about the past, the resistance, everything else, talking about the Grizzlies' history the last few years. Here's the key to all this. Say all that to say this. It's where the interview's taking place. As Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian and others have noticed, if you don't have to listen to the entire YouTube video or watch this 3-part series that's apparently coming out, to know this. The location of where that interview is happening tells you everything you need to know. It's right there. It looks like in a team store. It's a merch store down at FedEx Forum. Keep in mind, Paul Young represents the city of Memphis, obviously, who has spoken for the city and did last summer when he said, you know, hopefully we were going to get the negotiations done this. He's the city, represents it. He's sitting in FedEx Forum, the home of the Memphis Grizzlies, right? And that is the side that the city is dealing with in terms of these lease negotiations. He wouldn't be sitting in FedEx Forum talking about, as we work to write the Grizzlies' next chapter, the Grizzlies wouldn't be comfortable with it if sides were far apart, if this thing wasn't close to done. Brad Carson, you're absolutely right. Frankly, you should be sitting with your chest out, because you and others have been alluding to this now since last week, and for Duncan Williams, I guess, for a couple of weeks, that we are close. So I know we missed the boat last summer. Again, it got a lot of people into an uproar. And especially as we saw, you know, teams, well, not teams, but players, you know, you had former players on podcasts say that the franchise would be better off if it was somewhere else, LeBron James included. We took that stuff, even John Morant's status. You know what? Oh, you know, without these leases, if you don't have anybody to go watch, we've used this to drive ourselves up into a frenzy. When, frankly, if you've just been reading the writing on the wall, and frankly, what was done today by the mayor has only made that writing stronger in putting this out. The mayor himself is not putting out a statement like this. Again, after missing the timeline last summer, he's not comfortable putting out videos like this if he didn't feel like news was coming very soon. This is telling you it's all but done, and that I expect here in the next few weeks, whether it's the end of August, whether it's the transition of the Shelby County mayor, whatever it is, right, that I expect this to be done. And even better news, obviously, that we can finally put something else to bed about the Grizzlies and their immediate future. Remember, Duncan Williams said multiple decades.
That's what got everybody excited was Duncan. When that came out 2 weeks ago, you pointed that out. I thought that was
WREG wrote the story. He was telling it to an audience, speaking as the interim president of the chamber. Yeah. And was speaking about a bright future of FedEx Forum, which renovations had started, but also talked about that lease and mentioned multiple decades. So very soon, I hope to put this to bed as well. Again, not that this has been necessarily the cloud that the Ja Morant thing has been, although we've had some rainy days.
Sure.
As we've seen some NBA folks get their shots in. At Memphis, and the fact that, thinking that the franchise would be better off somewhere else.
Well, you had two things last year. You had the LeBron crap, and then you had the us trying to get a better pick stuff because we had to lose some games in order to get the 3 pick to start the reboot, you know? It does feel like there's like a renaissance going. And then when you sent me this morning and I read the headline, I didn't get a chance to look at because it's a long YouTube piece. Like, I like his headline and the fact that it's at the forum, because if you think about it, and Jeffrey Wright has pointed this out on his show, like essentially what the Grizzlies in the city are about to do, it's like building a new arena now, the way the cost breaks down. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you can't just rebuild an arena that costs, $350 million at whatever. It's going to cost you more than the original cost of the first build out that you did. So like, folks, this is something to get excited about when and if this happens, because it needs to be the kind of energy. And that's why I think that the jaw thing would help if they moved on, because it's sort of this renaissance, right? You got a new player, you got a new group of players.
I like that word.
It's sort of this renaissance. You've got a brand new stadium essentially after it's done. It does feel like it could really cook some energy into this thing, you know?
I think I'm either as or maybe even more excited about what's going to happen outside FedEx Forum around that area of Beale. Like that 70 to 80 million, whatever it is, that's been given by the state. Yeah, because, inside, yes, you want an improved fan experience. You want as up-to-date an experience as you can get inside your arena. That helps. Yeah. That helps with the overall experience.
Right.
Now, I'm not like Mark Cuban, where I think that matters more than the actual product on the floor. But I think key to Memphis right now, key to a turnaround of downtown, keep in mind, downtown's got the perception of you don't want to go there. How many years have we had to include that, whether it was crime, whatever else, in the conversation about Grizzlies, in the conversation about Tigers and everything else? And so you need a reimagined downtown, not just in terms of safety, but something that's an attraction outside from just the basketball. And so Beale being there with newly updated, hopefully newly renovated restaurants and everything else, a new face that looks more like 2026. Yeah, right. And less like, 2004. That's what that area has long needed. And I think that can help spark interest and a gravitational pull again to downtown in a way that we haven't had in a long time. In a way that's, you put it, that complements what hopefully is a good basketball product and FedEx Forum, a newly renovated FedEx Forum, going forward for the next 20 or so years. So if you haven't checked it out, Paul Young's been busy this morning on X. If you've got 24 minutes, go check out the video. It's the first of three. So I'm eager to see who else he does interviews with in this three-part series. My guess is very close to, when this thing wraps up, you could very well have news about the lease negotiations being done. So maybe they beat the end of summer timeline that's been laid out there. So exciting news, certainly, for the Memphis Grizzlies. Maybe we'll have some closure there. Maybe we'll have some closure this week on Ja Morant. Kevin O'Connor certainly thinks that's going to come this week. We've got more trades to talk about in the NBA. We'll do that on the other side. Hornets making more moves. My gosh, your head's spinning. In terms of the options today, who's in, who's out, we'll do it all. DeMichael Cole also has an interesting piece over at commercialappeal.com, breaking the Grizzlies roster down into tiers. Who's here? Who's safe? Who's not? Who's trade bait, potentially, when it comes to this roster, which right now is sitting at 18 guys. So you're obviously going to have some consolidation before the regular season begins. We'll talk about all that on the other side. You're listening to J&J 929 FM.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm ESPN. Can you see LeBron James, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Anthony Davis all sitting there with their hands crossed the chest, whether it's for this song or for the national anthem, Golden State uniforms on.
Wow.
In the 2027 NBA Finals. Can you see it as this team of old superheroes? And certainly looks like this is getting more real by the day. We talked a lot about Shams there in the first segment, but one of his tweets this morning about Draymond Green, who originally was thought that he was going to opt in to his $27.7 million option. He has opted out. And as Shams puts, this move gives the Warriors flexibility to do as Kevin O'Connor said they're doing, pursue LeBron James in free agency and Anthony Davis via trade to form a big four. Shams put it as a big four. Now, keep in mind, he's represented by Clutch. Yep. Same folks that LeBron are represented by. So when he uses the phrase big four, it's probably coming straight from Bron, straight from Clutch, you know. And LeBron, again, I told you, he's going to like the idea a lot better of a big four than he is of going and joining Harden and Donovan Mitchell on the cheap in Cleveland. A destination I once thought was inevitable, did think that Cleveland would decide to move on from James Harden back. Now, maybe that was foolish thinking from the get-go. As Windhorst said, when they made the trade for James Harden, they were always going to renegotiate his deal, get, you know, have him opt out of this year and then give him a longer-term contract. That's it. Cleveland ain't it. Frankly, are you going to come out of the East if you're in Cleveland with what's happened now in the East? Let me ask you. How much of a contender, how high would you push Golden State up the list if their starting five included the foursome? Now, you got to keep in mind, if they're gonna get Anthony Davis, that said Jimmy Butler's got to be involved in it, so he's gone. Subtract him.
Yeah.
Do it with the big four of Steph, LeBron, Draymond, Anthony Davis, then whatever else they put around the fringes. How close would you put that to San Antonio, to OKC, or would you put it
above? They still have Porzingis, too?
I believe they do.
Yeah. So you got Porzingis. You just signed Al Horford, right? You got Horford. And you've got Moody and a bunch of little, you know, young players. You get rid of Butler and you got the big four. You win the West.
Win the West?
Yeah, you win the West.
You're gonna need some canes, aren't you, to keep all those old men on the
court? I mean, this is their last go, so they're gonna give it all. I mean, this is the last of the run. So, I mean, you're trying. If you're Steph Curry, you got something to prove here, and you got reinforcements. Now, granted, they're all coming in on wheelchairs, but bro, those are, even on wheelchairs, you got to figure they're going to be way more significant than the Grizzlies or most of these teams outside of Oklahoma City, the Spurs, Denver. They're in the mix.
Lakers, will see what they put around Luka.
We'll,
I mean, they did finish fourth in the standings last year. You got to see, that was with LeBron.
Yeah.
Got to see what they put around Luka and Austin Reeves. It would seem like to me the key is what you can do around those pieces, because you can't rely on those four to play 65 plus games. You'll need them for the playoffs. And so being able to have enough depth to not have to run those guys so heavily in the ground during the regular season seems so important with a core that's that old.
Pat Spencer is on that program, and he, you know.
But maybe they've got enough of the edge work, enough
of
those guys
enough
to do so. Clearly, when you have Steph Curry, the plan was always going to be try to stay. This is part of Steve Kerr coming back. He didn't want to be a part of a rebuild. They clearly got him to believe in a vision that included continuing to compete right now for a championship. And you don't get Steve Kerr to buy back in and do a contract extension.
Exactly.
If he doesn't think you're going after it. And this would be, I mean, a big four.
Yeah.
When frankly, it's hard to keep a big three together. And this is going to require LeBron to take less. It would seemingly so. But already, though, maybe not as little as some would think, because you've got Draymond deciding, hey, I'll put my hand up. I'll take less to help with this. But surely all of them in some way or the other, at least LeBron and at least Draymond, are going to have to take a shave with what's going to be paid Steph and what's going to be paid.
You figure that out. You get the big four, and then you got Podzimski. You've got guards.
It's fun.
They've got guards, they've got centers, and they've got the big four. I'd put them in there.
It'd be fun to have an old guard back in the West that maybe can push around some of these younger teams that look like they're taking over in terms of San Antonio and OKC. I'm not sure you've got the depth, because those two teams just got deeper, too, in the draft. By the way, we'll get to this later, OKC's keeping Hardenstein, something I didn't think they were going to be able to do.
Yeah.
And accomplish what they needed to in terms of staying off the apron and everything else. But so that was big news for OKC. It will be huge. What a story Golden State will be going into the next season if they can pull this off. I'll get LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Certainly seems like that is the direction this is headed. We'll talk about the direction that Charlotte's headed after the break. We'll stay in the NBA. There was big news over the weekend. Another trade for the Charlotte Hornets. We'll talk about what the Phoenix Suns got and Miles Bridges. And what we think of that trade. That and much more NBA news. We talk about Jaylen Brown was all into it on social media with Bobby Marks over the weekend. A lot more to discuss in hour number two. You're listening to J&J, 929 FM, ESPN.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.